We're in the midst of a series. Remember in your worship guide, this is your worship guide if you have it with you, what the Bible really says about. We're in the midst of a series called Relating in Good Ways to Others. And we've been talking about a variety of things, and today we're talking about considering work relationships. Yesterday it was too hot to walk outside, so Art and I walked at Foothills Mall, and we passed by Party City. You know where Party City is at Foothills? And there's a sign in the entryway that says, hiring. So you could get a job at Party City if you want, because then it lists right after that, a fun place to work. Who doesn't want to work in a fun place, right? And if it's Party City, surely it's got to be a fun place to work. But I wonder, you know, every place is not fun all the time, is it? Even if it's basically fun, basically good. So today, what we're talking about is navigating work relationships. Now, I know what some of you are thinking about right now. I don't go to a job anymore. I know some of you are thinking that. And I'm going to say, work is how you spend your time. Okay? That's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to start with a passage from the book of James that gives us some guidance for navigating all kinds of relationships, but especially if we're out working. The writer of James is telling the Christian community how to work among people and with each other. And then we're going to hear a passage about Jesus from Mark chapter 6, where he sends his disciples out to do work. Pay attention to what he tells them. But we're going to start with the passage from James.
The first scripture reading is from James 3, 13 through 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
And now these words from the Gospel of Mark. Then Jesus went among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake the dust off that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Open our hearts, O God, to hear your word this day. Amen. Well, let's talk about work. No. Okay, let's not. What are you thinking about right now when I say let's talk about work? What are your spreadsheets? What you do with your days? What you did at one time? What jobs you've held throughout your life? What you're hoping for with work? How do you feel about work Joyful? Overwhelmed? Glad you don't have to go to a job anymore? Hopeful? Encouraged? My first job, other than babysitting, was when I was 18 and in college, in community college in Palatine, Illinois. I worked as a secretary in the Palatine Park District. And Art was working on the maintenance crew at the time. It's how we met. We met there at the Park District. And we have some really funny stories of working together. That's like the Parks and Rec department, right? And I worked there until we got married and moved from there. So that was my first job, and I'm going to tell a little story about that in a little while. My second job was teaching special education with children from birth to age three, children with special needs, and working with their families. That's what I did right after college, some years before I went into ministry. So what if we broadened our notion of work and thought of it as what we do with our time? So that means you students, you know what your work is. When you volunteer, that's your work. Stay-at-home parents, people who keep a home, jobs for pay, full-time and part-time, people who go on mission projects. For a middle school mission or a Sierra Service project, you certainly worked, didn't you? You worked. I think about the work of young children. That was my first career, working with young children. I think about that work of young children. Educators say that the work of young children, little children, the work of young children is play, right? That's what they appropriately do with their time. Play is their work. And here's part of the reason why. Part of what we do when we work is we work with others. And play helps young children learn how to work with others. About a week or so ago, our little foster grandson turned 3. And ahead of that, they had some friends to their house. And the friends brought little guy a gift. And he loves trains. It was a little train. And he was being encouraged to play with the train with this little boy who brought it to him. You can imagine how that went with the 3-year-old, right? He didn't want to play with the other little guy. It was his train. It was his gift. And so children, through their play, learn how to share, how to show others, but it's kind of hard when you're 3. But when you're 23 or 43 or 63 or 83, being able to work with others is a valuable thing. Most of us spend a lot of our work time working with others. Some people we know work alone or work alone part of the time. Some people know they work best alone, but even they usually need at some time to work with others. Think about the mission projects that our youth did this summer, our middle school youth and then our Sierra Service Project youth and the adults who went with them. Real practice in working together. You can't really build a roof alone. Most of the time, when we're working, no matter what that work is, we're doing that alongside or with other people. Since we're talking about relating to others in good ways and what the Bible says about that, let's take a minute and see what the scriptures say about working together, working with others. You heard the passage from James 3 in the New Revised Standard Version. That's what's in your pews. But here is what the Message says. In James chapter 3, a little part of that passage. Do you want to be counted wise? To build a reputation for wisdom? Here's what you do. Live well, live wisely, live humbly. It's the way you live, not the way you talk, that counts. Mean-spirited ambition isn't wisdom. I love that line. Whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everyone ends up at each other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. It is gentle and reasonable, overflowing with mercy and blessings, not hot one day and cold the next, not two-faced. You can develop a healthy and robust community that lives right with God and enjoys its results only if you do the hard work of getting along with each other, treating each other with dignity and honor. Don't you love that? What a great description. So we know that there are challenges in working with others. I know none of you have ever experienced challenges in working with others. Whether your work, what we do with our time, is a paying job or volunteering, doing mission work, working at home, caring for children or aging relatives, whatever your work is, there are bound to be challenges. It's our whole day talking about those. Here's a few, and these things are related. I imagine you'll identify with one or two of these. Challenges in working with others. Self-centeredness. Well, that's in others, of course. Right? That's somebody else. I want what I want when I want it, and you need to get out of my way so I can have it. Never met anybody like that, right? This is different. That's different than using one's gifts and talents to accomplish a good purpose. It's the get out of my way because I know what to do. Another challenge, somebody thinking they can do it all themselves, not being willing to ask for help and then taking too long, or messing things up, or taking the glory if it all goes well. Never met those people either, right? Another challenge, resistance to working as a team. I think I know all the answers. The attitude that others aren't important enough or capable. Another challenge, some people see things from a gloomy and a pessimistic point of view. Always thinking and talking about what can't be done, or we've done that before, or famous words, you know what I'm going to say, we always do it this way. An unwillingness to try new things. Another challenge, a failure to listen to one another. Another challenge, letting our anger, resentment, or annoyances take over rather than stopping to think about what might be going on in someone's life. And finally, how about the challenge of those who don't do their jobs? People who are lazy or not pulling their weight, taking advantage of the good nature of coworkers. You've never met those people either, have you? Well, Jesus knows that his disciples will face challenges in their work. Their work is going out in his name to heal and teach and let people know about him, to repent and turn their lives toward God. Jesus knows they're going to face challenges, and so here is what he does. You heard Pastor Stewart read this, so I'm just going to pick out some passages from the message again. From Mark chapter 6. Jesus calls his disciples to him. He sends them out in pairs, not alone. He gives them authority and power. He sends them off with instructions. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for what you've got to do. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. No luxury inns. Get a modest place and be content there until you leave. Don't make a scene. And then they were on the road. They preached with joyful urgency, we're told. That they preached that life can be radically different. They, I love this line too, they sent the demons packing. And they brought wellness to the sick, anointing them and healing their spirits. That's what Jesus knew they'd face challenges, and so he sent them out with those instructions. Truly, when we think about work and working with others, We want how we spend our time to honor God and spread God's love in the world. We want to use our gifts. We want to make the world better, all the while earning a living if we're working for pay. What that means is that we want to grow in wisdom. We want to be wise workers, followers of Jesus. So here's a guideline for working with others. Those of you who are taking notes, here's the ABCs. Now, this is not the only way or a complete thing, but this is some thoughts, some ABCs. A for address true concerns. Address. In compassionate ways, if you have a concern, go to the person, whether you're the worker or the boss. Pray first, make notes or a list, talk and listen, but don't let concerns fester. And be sure that you're not part of the problem. Are you just trying to look better than somebody else? Do self-reflection. Change as needed. Turn our ways to Jesus, who is our guide to wisdom. So remember when I was working back at the Palatine Park District when I was young, I was 18, 19 in there. I was a secretary, and part of what happened there is that the maintenance crew had their building right outside the office building, and there weren't any bathrooms or water in the maintenance building, so they would often come into our building for those things. So I kept noticing that there was a man who worked on the maintenance crew who was slow. He was slow in thinking. He was slow in moving. He was diligent, but slow. And there was a young guy working on the maintenance crew who constantly made fun of this guy. And he did it in private because I heard about it, and he did it in public when all the guys were gathered there, when they would come in. And this just kept festering in me. It just kept festering. I was a kid myself. That guy was probably older than me. This kept festering and festering and festering until one day when he did it, I screamed at him in front of everybody. I called him out on this and told him what a terrible thing he was doing, what a terrible person he was, and that this was not appropriate, and he needed to stop doing it. And I was yelling about this in front of all these people. Well, you know, that situation needed to be addressed, right? And it should have been addressed by his boss. There I was, a little secretary part-time in the office. I thought over the years, what would have been the wise thing to do with that? If it needed to be addressed, I needed to find a way, maybe me and one other person, to go to him or go to his boss and talk about this and talk it through. The thing is that when you're addressing true concerns, you don't have to say everything that goes through your head. Yeah. Right. The second thing is, B, this is letter B. Letter A was address. Letter B, be discerning. Listen and think. To discern means to listen in a gentle and intentional way in order to figure out the best ways to approach something. We go back for a moment to the scripture that says, whenever you're trying to look better than others or get the better of others, things fall apart and everybody ends up at each other's throats. Real wisdom, God's wisdom, begins with a holy life and is characterized by getting along with others. We are invited to be in relationship with others in a discerning way. Be positive about concerns that can be addressed, that relationships can grow, that you can work things out and do good work together, and in the midst of it, cultivate a joyful attitude, extending grace to others. I remember a boss that I had early on when we first came in the morning. Every day she would go down to our offices, and she would say, "How are things today? Is there anything I can help you with today?" Cultivating a joyful attitude and extending grace to others and to oneself. If you have that joyful attitude, you can really get through a lot of things. There's this little story about a new small business that was opening, and one of the owner's friends arranged for flowers to be sent to mark the occasion and to wish the owner luck. You get what I'm saying? The flowers duly arrived at the new business site, and the business owner read the accompanying card to find that it said, "Rest in peace." The business owner rang his friend and told him what the card said. The friend was angry and he called the florist to complain. After he had told the florist of the obvious mistake and how angry he was, the florist said, "Sir, I'm really sorry for the mistake, but rather than getting angry, you should consider this. Somewhere today there's a funeral taking place. And they have flowers with a note saying, 'Congratulations on your new location.'" When we're discerning, we show care and gratitude, and we look at things from a variety of perspectives. Letter C. I'm wrapping up with this. Letter C. So A was addressing concerns. B was being discerning. C is holding confidences. So especially in these days of social media, with texting and, well, you know the whole thing. The whole thing was social media. It's easy to break confidences, sometimes in a work environment, if we're working with somebody on something. We need to be sure to hold those confidences so that the person can really feel like they can work on something. Sometimes people share personal things with us, and we need to hold those confidences. We pastors are very intentional about this, as you know, that when people share things with us, unless someone's a danger to themselves or others, we totally keep confidences. Keeping confidences builds trust. You want trust in a working relationship. And so holding confidences, again, you don't have to say everything that goes through your head. Use discretion and keep confidences. Sometimes we'll say, you know, if I really need to share this with another person, I'm going to share it with Pastor Evie, or I'm going to share it with Pastor Stewart, and I want you to know that I'm going to do that. But otherwise, we keep confidences. And that's so important in building trust in working relationships. So these are the ABCs: to address concerns, to be discerning, to hold confidences. Some of the ABCs of working well with others. I'm sure that you could add letters D through Z if we had time to do that. You know, I think if we practice these things to get along well with others in our working relationships, remember, work is what you do with your day. If we practice these, people will think we are quite wise and that we're quite a good follower of Jesus and quite a good world changer, and they'll look forward to working with you. In Jesus' name, amen.